We'd like to extend a special thanks to Portrait of a Warrior Gallery in Bakersfield, California, for graciously allowing us to film this episode on their premises. You may hear a few beeps throughout the recording. Those are simply from the gallery doors opening as we filmed. We hope you enjoy this special episode, and we want to take a moment to express our deepest gratitude to all veterans for their service and dedication in protecting our freedoms.
Hi, I'm Jory. Welcome back to Shattered Silence. I am here with Jay and Pedro today. Thank you guys for being here. First off, I'm really thankful that you guys would come on and share any piece of your story, really whatever you guys want to share. But first and foremost, we are here, you know, because of Kyle and the impact that he had on seriously so many people's lives. So if you'll just kind of introduce yourselves, tell where you're from. And I guess how you met Kyle in the military to begin with.
Absolutely. So my name is Jeremiah Garcia. I go by Jay, as most people know me. Mm-hmm. And I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. And then when I was 10 years old, I moved down to Tampa, Florida. Around 19 years old, I enlisted into the Marine Corps as an 06XX, which is a communications electrician. I went off to Parris Island, South Carolina to do 3 months of boot camp. Following that, I went to North Carolina for some infantry training, if you will, or some combative training that every standard Marine that is not an infantryman goes through. After that, I went over to 29 Palms, California, where I met Kyle. Okay. Kyle and I were in the same 0621 Field Radios Operators Course class, where we were there for 3 months in 29 Palms, California. if you know, you know.
Talked about it sometimes.
Yeah, he knows worse than I do, but yeah, if you know, you know. But it was a great time there, great time. And then following our graduation, we both were stationed on Camp Lejeune.
How long were you and Kyle
So him and I were together for about 3 months working hand in hand, and working hand in hand was just us going to school. Mm-hmm. That's it. We were in a, so when you're in a student status, mm-hmm. you're very limited as to what you can do. Mm-hmm. Outside of, learning our new job, mm-hmm. We were exercising together. So, and not freely exercising, yeah. We'll call it military exercising. Okay. Which that is just a bunch of getting in a square box and running uh-huh. up and down mountains, yeah. A bunch of fun stuff. And then once we moved over to, once we got stationed in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, we kept in contact almost every week or weekend. Mm-hmm. I would go pick him up from his barracks and we would just do a bunch of things.
Okay. And then Pedro?
Yeah, I'm originally from Brazil. I moved to Louisiana when I was a teenager, graduated high school, then moved to Florida, did the whole college thing. Shortly after college, I enlisted in the Marine Corps. My first unit, I'm just a dumb grunt. So after infantry training, I went to my first unit, which was Victor 28, so 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines. And that's where I met Kyle. So every infantry battalion rates all these attachments. So you have Navy corpsmen, you have maybe combat engineers and radio operators. So Kyle was, I guess, my first radio operator, and he was phenomenal. So we did that first workup together, did multiple training exercises, and then we deployed in support of Operation Oak and Steel. That was summer of 2016 all the way through January 2017. That was Uganda, Djibouti, Somalia, yeah.
But one thing that I would say, you know, Kyle obviously loved everything about being in the military. It really was everything to him. And I only heard about it. You know, we met after he got out, so I had only heard, you know, how much love he had for it. But one thing is that he talked about how great his friends were in the military and the brotherhood, and I obviously would never really understand that. But then after he passed away, it was like, I can't believe how many of his buddies reached out to me and like, hey, we're going to put this together so we can help buy Brooks some Christmas toys this year, whatever it is, you know, and I just like, that was so incredible to see too, because I mean, anyone I talk to has been like, oh, Kyle was seriously like, I met him once and it was like, he was just the greatest friend and person to be around. And I feel like I just hear that so much from so many people. So I just think that that part of everything is like super cool, at least from my side and my perspective, you know. One thing before Kyle passed away, something he always had struggled with was just finding his purpose in the military, mm-hmm. and like how am I gonna like feel like I really am needed, and you know what I mean? It's like it coming from the military, just to go find an everyday job at that point. You're a civilian, you know. So what, I mean, I guess you would be more to talk to if you're still in the military, but so how was it like for you getting out of the military? And I know, I think I know you struggled on if you were going to stay in or not.
Yeah.
So how was it making your decision and getting out of the military? And how did you like find yourself also struggling in that way, transitioning?
Absolutely. So around, or when I joined, I went in with the intent of just doing two enlistments or one enlistment and getting out and just mm-hmm. finding a purpose. Much like Pedro, I did about a year and a half of community college. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this really isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, the whole story. But I decided, you know, to join the Marine Corps. I said if I was going to join a branch, it was going to be the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really joining the Marine Corps, that alone separates yourself from all the other three separate, services. You get thrown into, for lack of a better term, like a wolf den. It is a fast paced environment for some people, mm-hmm. right? Depending on your job and depending on which route you go. For the O3s, the grunts, the infantrymen, it's 0 to 100 as soon as you get to your mm-hmm. unit. It is fast paced. You are taught to do many things that as a young man or woman, young mm-hmm. service member, your traditional service member wouldn't, or your traditional 18, 19 year old wouldn't necessarily do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And during that critical time, you're not only learning about yourself because you had just graduated high school, or hopefully graduated high school, but you're learning how to just become something that you signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to carry on the legacy of all these Marines. Right. If you look around this room,
right.
And the first thing that pops up to me is the Marine Corps. Right. The Marines
mm-hmm.
here. And I know what each and every one of those guys had went through
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent, right? I may not have followed their footsteps. I may not have, you know, done their job, but I know a little bit of what they went through,
mm-hmm.
right? Or for the most part, hand in hand on what they went through.
Right.
So when I got out 2021, I had done a deployment to Afghanistan, and I also had done some training operations in Norway and Germany as well. And it was more so trying to compare the job and taskings and responsibilities that I had in the Marine Corps to what I was going to transition to afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say in my case, I'm very humble about this, but I had a pretty good transition as far as career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I went from being an 0621 field radio operator to working for the company that actually supplies all the communications equipment to the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working for that company, but I went from working with the Marine Corps to the Navy, which was a very, very different world, extremely different world. And not only that, I moved up to a city where it was just me, myself and I.
Mm-hmm.
I built such a strong brotherhood, a strong group of friends, a strong... I mean, those guys, I wouldn't call them anything less than their name. You know, those guys
mm-hmm.
are my brothers for life.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, being by myself in a town that is full of people that I don't really get along with. Not in a negative way, but
right.
they don't understand me and I don't understand them.
Right.
It's very, very different. You know, I was so used to waking up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, going on a run with my guys and going to work in a uniform, having formations every Monday,
mm-hmm.
or just doing the bullshit, right? Dealing with the getting yelled at or having to yell at my guys, taking accountability, you know,
mm-hmm.
little things like many different responsibilities that I was tasked at a young age, right,
mm-hmm.
to going completely, you know, pumping the brakes. And now I'm, now I have to try to manage that life in a, what we call civilian sector, right? Where the rules are different. You know, people are more sensitive to certain things. I can't really be, I can't be myself. You know, I can't be what I at least think is myself. I can't just, you know, freely curse around my boys or, you know, but, one thing that I held on to was my, my veteran friend group. Without my veteran guys, you know, Kyle and I would FaceTime miles away, 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
I'd go and visit you guys. Well, after I got out, I was focused on work, but I would go visit him.
Right.
And, you know, even my veteran friends now, I have friends 3 hours away. My closest friend is 3 hours away, but, any chance I get to, you know, to go see him, I mean, I take it.
Right.
And that truly, truly helped me, fully transition. And I mean, it's 3 years past the EAS date, but, you know, there are days where I wish I was back in uniform still.
Yeah.
And, especially, you know, stuff like this, you know, this room, this building, guys like Pedro, other veterans, it helps me, feel comfortable myself no matter what, no matter how far away I was from my EAS day.
Right.
So.
And I'm sure you're always going to have that piece that like misses it, obviously.
Being in not a second goes by where I don't think about it, or, you know, I don't think about the dumb days, right? The stupid days.
Yeah.
I definitely don't miss sleeping in the woods, or I'm sure he's had many more days than I have. But I definitely don't miss sleeping in the woods and not showering for a couple of days and not brushing my teeth for a couple of days, eating MREs. But when you're in the moment, it sucks. But looking back, it's like, okay, that was pretty fun, right? That was funny because I was with somebody else who dealt with it, right?
Yeah.
I look at these pictures with the red around it, and I'm like, yeah, you did a foxhole. You probably, you know, spent some time in the woods. You did this, you did that. And, you know, even though these guys were generations before me, if I met them, they would have a, you know, they would share a similar understanding of what I went through as well,
right?
Because we all earned that Eagle, Globe, and Anchor.
Yeah. You know, it was funny when Kyle and I first got together, I used to love like hiking all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure he hated it.
And then after a while he'd be like, okay, you know, I hate hiking now. Like, it used to be fun, but it's not fun anymore. After I used to go up here with these packs and this and that, and he starts telling me stories, I'm like, fine, we do not have to hike. It's fine. I will go by myself then, you know? So it's just kind of funny. I had a picture that just popped up yesterday or the day before, and it was literally the last hike that I brought him in too, and he's just smiling there on this rock. I'm like, don't you smile like that, you're sitting here complaining the whole way up. And that's how I knew he was going to propose, because hike in Yosemite. I'm like, you don't like to hike. I'm like, something's going on here.
Once
I had a little inkling that something was about to happen.
Once you get out, you drop that pack, or you feel like you drop that pack, because you know, you feel like you've done it all right after you get out.
If you miss it that much, you're more than welcome to come swim with the, you know, swamps with me.
So Pedro, for you then, you're still active in the military. Talk about some of your deployments and how it was like, I mean, I guess coming back from your deployments, because I know that's got to be like a tough transition, whereas like he's got a transition coming out of the military, but you're still in the military. So what was it like coming back and like seeing your family and stuff like that?
I mean, we both experienced, I guess, multiple deployments.
Yeah.
But from the guy that stayed in, I believe I have a unique perspective, because there is this sense of loneliness once like your peer group gets out, right? So my entire peer group, I think there's like a handful of us that reenlisted and stayed in. And those that stayed in, you know, you go to different units, you take different billets, different jobs. And now that you have a billet, you pick up rank. You can't, you know, grab a beer with your junior guys, or your subordinates, right? You can also not grab a beer with the battalion commander, right? So it's this weird spot where you just don't have friends, right?
Yeah.
And the Marine Corps, we have this sense of accountability that's really healthy, right? It's a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So right now, if I wanted to throw my life away, I would have at least like a handful of guys that would get in my face, be like, I'm not going to let you do that, mm-hmm. period, mm-hmm. because I freaking love you, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to maintain that once people get out, right? Because now you don't see them every day. Now mm-hmm. it becomes a phone call or FaceTime. Mm-hmm. FaceTime becomes, you know, text message, and it is what it is. It's the nature of it. And I think that's where, you know, guys that get out struggle, right? I lost many friends, most, you know, suicide related. And for us that stay in, there's that sense of a little bit of guilt. Like, could I have done more? Mm-hmm. Should I? Or, you know, and then for a little bit of time, we get together as a community and we're like, yes, let's have a group chat. Let's try to meet. Let's try to do this. Let's, you know, go hiking or camping or go shooting. Let's, you know, let's maintain this this thing going. And then it'll last a couple of months, right? But eventually life gets hectic and deployments and you lose touch again. And it's hard to maintain that accountability. That's my perspective from, I guess, someone that's still active, right. You know.
Kyle, there'd be times where I would come home and he's got his head hanging low, you know, like, what's going on? He's like, another buddy of mine took his life. Mm-hmm. And he would just be so emotional and just be like, you know, like you said, sometimes you just think, could I have done more? And what if I reached out to them more? Or what if I did this, you know? And that's just like, that's just grief in general. I feel like regardless of what it is, you always are just like, oh my gosh, someone close to you. I could have done this. I could have done that. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's like there really is nothing you could have done. But I just know that Kyle, I wish he would have like reached out more to his like military buddies that knew what he was going through. I feel like that, or even just like a military support group, like Aspire actually has a military support group. And so he had talked about it before. And I just think if he took it seriously and if like, I don't know, if the word was out there more and people like talked about like actually like seeking like either a support group or therapy or whatever it may be afterwards, just to get that support in regards to military, I guess, just because I'm like, I know how much it impacted Kyle and just seeing his friends go before him, it really messed with his head. And I wish that he just could have had that support, you know? And I feel like it just needs to be talked about more.
Yeah. You know, I guess I could speak for when I was active duty. September 28, 2017, we were in Camp Lejeune area, mm-hmm. More outside of base. We were doing what we call IED lanes. So we were training to spot IEDs in a convoy. So whether it was on a foot patrol or in vehicles. Mm-hmm. And it was the last day of our field op, and we were getting ready to go home. It was the morning. I just brushed my teeth, just ate a can of ravioli and some MRE meals. And I get a call from my mother, you know, sort of explaining that my grandmother was going into surgery and how she would update me. And I said, okay, sounds good. Let me know, et cetera, et cetera. Went about my day. Mm-hmm. We're getting accountability stuff, and she frantically called me again, you know, sort of explaining that, you know, things aren't looking good, mid-surgery, and then ultimately an hour later, she called me again, let me know that my grandmother passed away. So, you know, hearing that news, it was very, very hard to try to at least not show that I, you know, I'm giving up on my guys despite what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, despite the mishap that happened and the loss of life, I still had a job to do. I still had to fill that role and fill that billet. You know, a lot of people in the military, it's very common for something like that to happen. If your brother goes down, if a fellow Marine goes down, family member, wife, spouse, kids, unfortunately pass away, you're still responsible to do exactly what you have to do, because ultimately you signed the contract, right? You put that uniform on every day.
Yeah.
You voiced an oath to serve and protect this country. Regardless of the matter, you still had to keep on moving forward. But it was the support system that I had, my guys to the left and right of me, and they have resources available to you, in the military, depending on your base, right? I'm not sure how it is now. But there are many, many, many outlets out there for people to get help and for people to reach out to. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, as Marines, we're so prideful in ourselves that we are a warrior, right? We are a warrior first, and nothing will break our skin no matter what. From the infantrymen all the way down to the guys that are just sitting at cubicles writing stuff, or the admin guys, we have this warrior mentality that we're unbreakable and nothing can hurt us despite the life mishaps that happen.
Right.
So I think it's a combination of that and just not wanting to show our emotions,
right,
to our guys who, again, we all have a mission, right? We all serve with a purpose, and we don't want to bring anybody to the left and right of us down. So it was definitely, I spent time relying on my guys, and they would reach out to me for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks while I was still grieving. But I also hid all of my emotions because, again, we were on a workup to my one and only combat deployment. And much like everybody else, it was the same thing. Because we knew going into this, it could have been our last, right? So regardless of what happened in my life or who I lost in my life, I still had a purpose and I still had to do my job as a radio operator for my guys, regardless of everything that happened. Mm-hmm. And so I went on my deployment in 2018, 6 months, came back, and that February of 2019, I lost my father as well. So it was kind of a double blow within 2 years.
Oh, man.
And, it was a whirlwind of emotions. I was sort of used to the loss of life because it was so fresh still. But still, coming back from 6 months of being in a combat zone, and dealing with stuff of that nature, and coming back, trying to just transition back to normal military life. Mm-hmm. Because when you go on deployment, you're away from home, right? When you're away from home in a 8-hour time difference, you don't see your kids grow. You don't see your family grow. You know, you don't see the achievements that are happening back here because you are so focused on trying to make it to the next day, trying to make sure my guys don't get killed, trying to make sure somebody else is not, going postal themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, coming back and experiencing another loss, another blow, I think that's definitely where I relied on my leadership as well. My leadership was definitely there for me. Anything that I needed, which wasn't much, because again, I try to put my pride aside or try to be so prideful and work through it. My leadership did their part, right? And that's what it really comes down to is having a great support system.
Right.
There's some people, there's some Marines, some airmen, some Navy or sailors, some soldiers who unfortunately don't have good leadership. And that is a recurring issue or that is an ongoing issue in the military, in the Department of Defense. But those who at least get the good outlets and good avenues and have a great support system, regardless of what's going on in their life, those are the service members that actually, move forth and go on and do great things with themselves. But still, it ultimately comes down to putting your pride aside, even if you transition out of the military.
Mm-hmm.
Show somebody your emotions. Show somebody that you're hurting.
Right.
Talk to somebody. There are thousands. Look at this room in itself. 100 people on this wall, probably, right? Who have gone through something similar as yourself. Talk to them. Reach out to somebody.
Right.
There are millions of people online. All right, there should be no excuse, especially in our age right now, that you can't find somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
But again, it all starts with putting your pride aside.
Yeah.
Put your pride aside.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody. Show you're vulnerable. Show that you're vulnerable. And
I mean, even this place, I want to say they're like, we're open arms, if you need to come in and talk or whatever. And there's people that can relate, And so
absolutely.
I just wish Kyle would have been able to see this place, Like, it's kind of a bittersweet thing to, like, come in here and see how cool, like, all this is and to be like, well, like, he's on the wall here, you know?
Yeah, forever.
We have a message from our sponsors, Aspire Counseling Services. We just want to remind everyone that seeking treatment should never be stigmatized. Aspire specializes in providing support and treatment for both teens and adults with mental health and substance use disorders, recognizing that these conditions often do coexist. They are an amazing resource, and you can get started by texting or calling the number 888-585-7373 to enroll at any time.
I guess as far as Kyle goes, like, just before he passed away, you know, talking about seeking help, seeking, you know, support groups, or, you know, military support groups specifically, you know, I wish that he would have took that more seriously. I know at one point he talked about it and he's like, oh, I want to go. And then, I mean, I didn't take it as seriously as he did, you know, so. Also, going back to you wish you could have done more, I was like, man, he dropped small hints to me, and I wish I would have, like, taken it more seriously and, like, actually pushed him to go and seek that help, you know? And then ultimately, you know, he self-medicated and nobody knew. And that was the hardest thing for, I think, all of us families. Like, we're asking afterwards, did you have any idea? Did he reach out to you? Did he seem like he was weird? Was, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just such a complete shock because I had just talked to him, like, hours before. And I didn't see any signs. Like, we had a little tiff, you know, but that's normal. Like, that we didn't really fight like crazy or anything, you know? Like, we barely fought, to be honest. And so it was just, like, very shocking, to say the least. So, yeah, I guess as far as that goes with help, I know it's not easy, but what's something that you could, like, advice you guys could give?
Someone that's still in, right? I'll just harp on the whole accountability piece, right? Because it's very tangible when you're active duty. Mm-hmm. It's like, especially in the infantry, right? So Kyle was our radio operator, so he did literally everything with us, and he moved just as far and carried the same amount of weight, if not extra, because of all the comm gear and the batteries, right?
I could tell he was more.
And yeah,
sucks.
And, like, you go to the field, you know, you gotta, you know, go number two, you take your battle buddy, and he provides security, and he's legit, like, a meter away from you. He sees everything. He smells everything, right? There's no hiding. Uh-huh. You can't hide who you are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There are no masks, right? So yeah, I'm sorry to say this, but I've seen your, you know, fiance naked. Yeah. But you get back from the field, it's the same lifestyle in the barracks, right?
Yeah.
You have a roommate. You show up to PT accountability every single morning, right? The weekend's planned, right? You have a DD who's another Marine, right? So this sense of community and brotherhood and everyone to your left and right and accountability is so tangible and is so precious. And you lose that when you get out. Mm-hmm. And I think what Jay said is on point, right? You need to put your pride aside. Like, hey, man, I'm not okay, right? And that's fine. It's okay to feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. I agree that, you know, one of the most, I guess, underrated leadership traits that someone can have is just being consistent. So I hate, you know, leaders, like, you show up in the morning, like, hey, good morning, so-and-so. And you don't know if you're going to get a good morning, brother. Or is it a good morning? Is it, right? Mm-hmm. So just having the ability to show up as the same person every day, I think that's amazing. But it does trigger some of those, okay, let me hide my feelings. Let me mask this emotion. Let me, you know, put on a mask, right? And over time, you just become numb, right? You don't know how to reach out. You don't know how to ask for help, right? And that's dangerous.
Yeah. And Kyle would always say, you know, I'm asking him, are you okay? Like, what's going on? You know, and it's like, you wouldn't understand, you know, and I'm like, you're right. I won't say I'll ever understand, but I'm, you know, I'm here for you. I'm a listening ear if you ever want to talk to me. But it's like you said, I mean, it's one thing to like come to your brothers and be like, hey, I'm struggling. It's another thing probably to come to like your fiance and be like, I'm struggling, you know? And it's like, you know, I'm sure like, and I know he told me many times, like, you know, it's embarrassing. You don't want to like come to like your wife or fiance or whatever and be like, hey, I'm struggling, even though it's like, I'd rather you do that and have you here, you know? Yeah. I'd rather you be here. I wish he could have told me, you know, hey, I don't know what is going on, but I am seriously thinking about like taking some stuff, you know? Like, I wish we just could have had that conversation, you know? Sure. I would not have even, well, I say that now. I say I wouldn't have been mad, which I mean, I don't think I would have been mad, but I've been like, okay, where is this coming from? You know, this is kind of out of nowhere. And, I did have, like, looking back now, I did have a little sign, like, from him, like, of him struggling. And he, like, the day before, I caught a video on his phone that he accidentally took, and he was talking to a buddy, and he's like, if I died tomorrow, would you take care of my family?
Oh, wow.
And I immediately, you know, I lost it. I'm just like, did he do this on purpose? Mm-hmm. Like, he knew that he was struggling so bad that he's like, fuck it. Basically, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this pill. I know it's a gamble. Yep. Not that he necessarily wanted to commit suicide or anything. Yep. I never think he would have ever done that to me, to our son. Definitely not in the way, like, to leave us to find him. Yep. Hearing that is like, man, he really was struggling and he didn't say anything. And then the morning that he left, the very next day, he says something again as he's walking out the door, you know, because we had gotten in a little tiff the night before. And it was like, love you, babe. See you later. Gave me a kiss. And I was like, love you. You know, just kind of being a brat. And he was just like, man, you'd be really sorry if I got in a car wreck today. And that's how you said it to me. And I said, you know what? You're right. I love you so much. I'm just mad at you still. He's like, okay. You know, we went about our days and texted, called each other, you know, and it was good. We were going to talk later. And so I mean, but when I look back now, I'm like, for him to say something like that multiple times, I knew that there's something going on. And, you know, hindsight's 2020. So yeah. It's just like, man, I wish I would have known.
I just, you know, for spouses or dependents, for lack of a better term. So any military service member, active duty, if they're married, have kids, are called a dependent. But you probably heard a lot that the military spouse is one of the strongest supporters of vets, or they can constitute as a vet themselves, right? And part it's true because the person who wears the uniform, bears the uniform, brings in the income and the and stability and benefits and everything for the family. But right. It's really the family who was at home who was struggling without that person, that whoever it may be, whether it's a female or a male service member, you know, driving and actually being in tune with that person's life or their kids' lives as well. So, you know, many different outlets that people kind of reach out to. You know, there are Navy chaplains that are on base that are free resource. There are veteran crisis lines that are resources. There are many different Instagram pages, you know, off the top of my head that are, you can just go on the comment section of, you know, the Marines page, okay. Right? And just talk to somebody random. And I'm sure somebody will reach back out to you.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Many different veteran Facebook group pages, right? But again, it dials back to putting your pride aside and stop being selfish and going and getting some help. Reach out to somebody. Break the baseline. Mm-hmm. Break the norm of, you know, putting this facade on, putting this face on, putting this mask on that I'm happy and internally I'm not. Mm-hmm. Put your pride aside for a second and it'll go a long way, right? You know, the first 6 months of my transition, I was fighting with myself. Because I was a civilian, I was still having tendencies that I was doing in the Marine Corps while I was in. And I noticed after a while that I can't keep doing this because I am a civilian. I have more on my plate to lose, right? I have a big risk to lose, right? I have a career, I have an apartment that's not on base. I have a dog. I just got a dog at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I just transitioned. I'm trying to understand how to be a normal person again, right, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't keep doing what I was doing in the Marine Corps as far as my antics outside of work, mm-hmm, while I was in the civilian world. So, you know, I made certain changes in my life that I had to, one, talk to myself about, and then also reach out to the VA therapy as well, which, again, that's free service as well. But there are many changes, and many people I talk to, of course, my friend group, my veteran group, that I talk to myself. Not saying that you guys can't come join our group, but these were friends from my first unit. Pedro mentioned it earlier, like your first group of guys, like, you there's nothing replacing that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. If you got your first unit, those first 5, 6, 2, however many guys you meet, those are your brothers. Like, those are literally your brothers that, mm-hmm, you feel like you've known for decades. Right. But after that first enlistment, everybody either, you know, some people reenlist, two people may reenlist and go to a different unit. One person may get out. One other person may stay there. One person, mm-hmm, gets a higher rank than anybody else. And by the rules of the Marine Corps, you can't talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that after work, you still can't reach out to them if, right, you're going through something, right?
Yeah.
Because they understand, I promise you, right, they understand what you're going through, or at least will have an answer or a resource or an outlet,
right,
for you to get better and to seek help.
Right.
So there's no excuse whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
There's no excuse. You just put your pride aside. And
yeah.
I have many of my best friends who are transitioning veterans who are, mm-hmm, struggling, right, or have struggled. And, mm-hmm, the one thing I tell them is stop being selfish, right? Stop being selfish,
yeah,
especially those who are married or have kids. Mm-hmm. Stop being selfish. I'm a single guy with a dog. I can vent to my dog.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's just going to look at me and wag his tail.
Like,
but, you know, that's just a dog. And, you know, his happiness brings me joy. And, you know, I remember, and it's a good reminder, like, all right, for 13 years, 15 years, however long you'd be here, you're my priority, and I'm,
yeah,
not going to be selfish,
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
But for somebody with a kid, somebody with a loving wife or a loving husband, you know, what have you, it's selfish to them because they're doing their part to try to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever think that, and I told you this already, don't ever think that you didn't do enough,
right,
because you did everything that you were supposed,
right,
to do and did, right?
Right.
It's just, again, internally, somebody that needs to find their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep driving this home. Put your damn pride aside,
yeah,
and find help.
Yeah.
Find help, please. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
Can't stress that enough.
Yeah. And I'm going to tie back or circle back to you in regards to, I guess, how you were talking about, you know, your wife is also so important because they,
right,
deal with a lot as well, just being with someone in the military, mm-hmm, and like all the changes that I'm sure they have to go through many times. So, how is it with you? I mean, I'm not going to pry either. So if you want to share anything with you and your wife and how she's been, cause you guys have been together for quite a while, right?
Yes. A hot minute. yeah, there's a side of grief that, you know, people don't talk about. I consider myself, right, we're lucky. We came back from every deployment. You know, I've done every deployment the Marine Corps has offered. And, you know, it was like 6 years, 4 deployments. And she stayed home with the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, yes, I came back very grateful. I'm sure she is as well. But I didn't come back the same person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to deal with that, right? She has to learn new things. She has to tailor certain things towards this,
mm-hmm,
new Pedro, right?
Right.
And I'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, right? Like,
right,
we're not obligated to be the same person.
Right.
Life happens and you change. And she also changed, right? Because she stayed back home with the kids and,
right,
life happened and events happened. And now I'm trying to learn new things. And the first couple weeks were both strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the, you know, I suppose you can call it the side effect, right? I came back and I'm, you know, sleeping right next to my wife and I'm having weird dreams, nothing crazy. I'm dreaming that I'm in, you know, in the, this defense line right next to Todd Smith, one of, you know, Kyle's friends.
I think he reached out to me, yeah.
And he was, you know, in the dream, he was right next to me. And my wife just grabbed my hand and, you know, the middle of the dream. So I stood up and I threw her hand and I said, fuck off, Smith. And she just started crying, right? Things like that happened all the time, right? Because you're so invested and immersed in what you're doing. You come back home and now you don't have to be conditioned, you know, red all the time. You can kind of relax, but that's when, like, all the these things come back to you. And, you know, my son is the same way, right? The first time I left the house to go grocery shopping after deployment, he was banging on the door, said, Daddy, please don't go. Because in his, you know, four-year-old mind, I'm going to be gone for another, you know, 7-9 months. So, yeah, he'll never get the same father, right? And that's okay, but it takes a lot of compromise. It takes a lot of active communication, right? I think spouses deserve way more appreciation. Like, they carry the bulk of, like, they do the heavy lifting when it comes to, like, military life, for sure.
I feel like that's really nice of you to say. Like, you know, I feel like you go through freaking a lot of shit, but, like, to also give that credit to your wife is, like, also really cool, you know? I guess in a different kind of way, I can relate just in the fact that I don't think I'll ever be the same person either. You know what I mean? Just going through that kind of grief and trauma, like the actual trauma of finding Kyle in the same way too. It's like, yeah, my son, I mean, he was so little, he was only 9 months old. And so he didn't really like know me at that point, you know, but it is something where it's like, man, when am I going to be like this again, you know? And then kind of like recently, you know, it's, I mean, it's been, I mean, not even a year yet since Kyle passed away, but I'm still finding that like each week, each month, you know, like, okay, like I am going to be a different person. And like you said, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like it just has given me a completely different perspective on life. I really am truly like, I try to see people for who they really are and the things that they've gone through, because I just feel like as many times as I've like had a bad day or just one of those days where I just don't want, I can't stop crying, you know, and I'm like, but I still got to go get groceries or I still got to go get some food for us, you know, or whatever it is. And I'm like, let's try and hide behind my glasses or whatever, you know. And I just know, like, I probably look like I just have, like, this resting bitch face over here, you know. And, like, people are probably like, damn, don't talk to this girl, you know. But I just think about, like, other people, too. I'm like, man, I'm not the only one, you know. I mean, I might be part of a smaller group that goes through, like, grief, especially as, like, a widow, you know, with a young baby. But it just really does make me think about other everyone's backgrounds and their lives, and just, you know, don't, like, I don't know, I guess give everyone a little bit of grace, you know. Like, it could just be a little bit of a bad day, you know.
It's the old don't judge a book by its cover type of
100%. Like, yeah, yeah,
you know, if somebody, especially, you know, in the, much like we talked about before, you don't know what somebody's going through, regardless of the matter. They could be crying because they're happy, right? Or they could be crying because of, you know, they're remembering something. But I'm a big proponent of time and time healing everything. You know, obviously, 6 months, you're going to deal with a tragedy differently than somebody who has dealt with something for 5 years.
Right.
So it took me a while to at least come to terms with the passing of my grandmother and father, and in such a short time frame. But, you know, her passing on my birthday, right, kind of takes away from the celebration of life, of my own life, excuse me. But I still have, you know, somebody who's very impactful for me, somebody who raised me from 10 to 19 years old. Her memories will, or her remembrance will always live on forever. And, you know, there are many different tattoos. It may not look like it because there's snakes and stuff, but like, I love roses, right? So I have roses tatted on me because of her and her honor.
Okay.
I have a rose bed in my house for her honor. So it's little reminders that, I, you know, at least keep her memory and keep her spirit right. near me no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, same thing that goes for butterflies. She loved butterflies. And anytime I see one, I say, that's mom. That's
yeah.
mom. That's
yeah.
mom talking to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it came with time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first 6 months was still rough. I was crying. It was, you know, first year anniversary.
You're
you always cry
like,
through it.
But can't
it,
fathom it.
Yeah. It no matter how many questions you ask, there will never be a true answer to it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Never, you'll never get that answer until you meet them one day.
Right.
And then you wonder, okay, what happened? Why? You know, you couldn't have talked to me, right? Like you wanna ask these questions,
yeah.
but, you know, while you're here present, you still have to remember that you have a life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a fulfillment in your
right.
own lane. You are a mother. In your case, you're a mother to Brooks. You're a phenomenal mother. You're the best.
Yeah.
You're the best leader that he has right now. And that's your mission. That's your purpose, right? For somebody like me, I just have to keep,
keep
my dog alive, right?
Yeah.
That's my purpose. For Pedro, right? He has a wife, 2 kids, and a career still that he has to fulfill and finish
right.
in order to support his spouse and his family dependents.
Right.
So everybody has their purpose, right?
Right?
But it's just how you deal with it, how you deal with the trauma that comes along,
right?
Right? How you handle the grief. Don't dwell on it, right? Don't dwell on it too long,
right? Right.
Because time will always heal.
Right.
Promise that.
That's really like the biggest thing that everyone always says is time is
cliche,
the only
but
healer, but it truly, yeah. truly is. And like, and everybody will also say too, you know, you go through the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Some days might be bad. Like even this morning, I'm like crying and I'm like, get it out before I go on camera, you know, but then I will have maybe a chunk of days where I might have cried like once for a little bit. And then there's days where I've cried for 5 days in a row, you know, but it's just part of it. And we just kind of have to embrace it, I guess.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Yep,
exactly. Gosh. Well, I mean, unless there's any like advice or anything like that, I mean, I've asked all the questions that I need and I'm just really grateful you guys would even share part of your stories.
Absolutely.
So thanks, guys.
I guess I'll just leave 2 messages for the active duty guys. I'll look you in your face too. Seek help now, man. If something's going on right now for you active duty guys and girls, seek help now. So, like, rely on your leadership. Even if they're not good, find a different outlet. Find a different resource because there's thousands out there, and I absolutely mean it. Put your pride aside for you Marines, you devil dogs, put your pride aside.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody else, same thing, same goes for you, please. And for my vets, put your pride aside and don't be selfish, all right? If you do something stupid to yourself, you're being selfish. You're being selfish not only to yourself, but to your family, your dog, your house, your wife, your kids, your other kids, your stepkids, your half kids, doesn't matter. Don't be selfish, all right? There are many outlets out there for you guys to seek help and use it. There are many, many cities, much like Kern County, that treat their veterans
yes.
very well. The Department of Veterans Affairs, I know they have a bad rep, but find something through
yeah.
it, all right? If you don't, there's a community, millions of veterans out there that have gone through the same stuff that you've gone through. So please, please find some help.
Yeah.
Don't do anything that's selfish and not compromise your legacy, man. I promise you. You
yeah.
did a lot of work for 4 years, at the very least 4 years, in order for it to be wasted in such a tragic way. Right?
I just want to thank the Portrait of a Warrior Gallery for having us here today and allowing us to film here. They are open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturdays, open from 11 to 3, open to the public. You guys can also call if you would like to do a private tour here. So again, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm Jory. Thank you for watching Shattered Silence, Stories of Recovery and Resilience. As always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You could watch full episodes on YouTube, and you can also listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.